We're now in part five, the last week in our series on the flood. We've made it through the flood, out of the ark. Noah is now on dry land and has been given a blessing by God and a warning about life, a warning not to kill. And we pick up the story there after the flood. In Genesis chapter 8, starting at verse 20, and then we're going to skip a little bit down into chapter 9, as I mentioned, because there's sort of two parallel stories here, so I broke the last two readings up to sort of match the parallel stories. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind. For the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And we continue in chapter 9 at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature, every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I want you to imagine for a minute Noah coming off the ark and stepping into this land of new opportunity. This land of new hope, this land of promise. See, before, for 600 years of his life, Noah lived in fear. He was surrounded by violence, surrounded by a community that did not know the Lord, did not understand God's ways, and threatened him and his family. And now, as he steps off the ark and off that journey, that endurance journey that he had been on, surviving with all those animals for all those weeks, he is now in this place of new opportunity. And the church, as we reflected on this scripture together in our class, we said that this is why we feel like this scripture speaks to us, because we are at this place of new hope and new opportunity as a church. We've stepped out into this new world and we're surrounded by a new environment, by children and families filling up our sanctuary, by these new apartments and new people that are moving into the neighborhood, by the changing of our environment all around us. We have also become part of a land of new opportunity. And yet God reminds us, when God thinks about what has happened and smells the pleasing aroma of Noah's sacrifice, God reminds us that the same old fears still linger. that people are still sinful. And we read that immediately after this in chapter 9, things start going south again for Noah and his family. For us, we see that the same old patterns are still there. The same old ways of being and doing that got us into this mess. The things that we've done before, I've heard, we've done this before, and it didn't work then. Why do we think it's going to work now? God has good news. God has a promise of hope for the world. That even though the hearts of men are still evil, God will not destroy us again. That even though we feel like that things are still the same, God has promised that they are not the same. That we are in a new place. A place of new hope. We can see a rainbow. A sign of the promise. A promise of new life. New life that is not based on us. Because God says the promise is not based on the reality of humanity. The promise is based on God's faithfulness. It's not based on our faith. It's not based on our faithful action. It is based on God's faithfulness. When God makes covenant with humanity, when God gives humanity a promise, God bases it on God's own faithfulness. And the scriptures tell us that God's faithfulness is from everlasting, and God's promises will not fail. So today we see a sign. For Noah, God put a bow in the sky and remind them of God's faithfulness. But for us, we have a new sign of God's faithfulness. We have the sign of baptism, the sign of water, the sign that God has saved us through water. All of us. Autumn's baptism today reminds us of God's faithfulness, not based on our own action, not based on our own faith, but based on the faithfulness of God. That's why we baptize babies in the United Methodist Church, because we recognize and highlight that it is based on God's faithfulness that we are saved. It is based on God's grace that we come and we ask God to wash away our sin. You see, before, God had to wash away all of humanity. But God found a new way to operate so that God goes inside of us and washes away the evil that is there inside of us. And it's a sign of the ultimate promise, the ultimate fulfillment of this promise that God made so long ago to Noah. The sign of the resurrection, as Peter writes to us. You see, as Catherine Schiffdecker writes, when sin and corruption threaten to overwhelm the world again, God Himself enters into the waters. The waters of the womb. The waters of the Jordan River. God's passion for creation. Jesus is the one who comes as God did with Noah and is heartbroken at what he sees in creation. Jesus is the one who this time suffers through the storm of our sin. Jesus is the one this time God tears down and rebuilds in 3 days. Jesus is the righteous one who dies for the unrighteous. And in the ultimate storm of the cross, this ultimate place of suffering, there is where God wins the victory at last. There is the place where God remembers Jesus and the promise is fulfilled. And the promise to each one of us that through the storm, God will remember us and bring us to this hopeful new land on the other side. See, we are brought into that promise through the waters of baptism. It is a sign and it is an act of grace that we are brought into the promise of Jesus Christ, that God has torn down our old life of sin and given us a new life, that through the resurrection of Jesus, we are saved through water and the Spirit. And this is all through God's faithfulness. So we stand now in a land of new opportunity because God has given us the Holy Spirit. That is where the rainbow points, and that is where the water points. They are signs, the scripture tells us. They are signs. Signs point us in a direction, and that direction is the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit has come upon us in baptism. The Spirit has been given to us as a seal and a guarantee of that promise, of what God can do in us, so that we can do good, praise God, share what we have hospitality with strangers, as the Scriptures tell us. We can live as Noah lived. Noah comes off the ark into this land of opportunity. The first thing it tells us that he does is sacrifice. And by the Holy Spirit in us, we too may sacrifice. We may live lives of sacrifice. Be living sacrifices. Praising, doing good, not being afraid to tear things down and rebuild them if they need to be torn down and rebuilt. Not being thinking that the storms in the church are the end because they are only the sign of a new beginning. Learning from Noah, from the promises that God has given us, that our hope is in diversity. That our hope is in the sign of the colors of the rainbow. That all colors may come together to be beautiful in the life of God and in the work of the Holy Spirit. When we recognize the dignity, the image of God in which each one of us are created. And why do we do this? Because it makes God happy. The scriptures tell us it makes God happy to see, to smell, to be a part, to experience the living sacrifice that God calls us to be. And when we fall short, when we fail, we remember again. When we see the rainbow, when we touch the water, that it is God's faithfulness that secures our hope, not our action, not our faith. It is God's faithfulness. So if you think right now that you are not worthy of this life, of living as a sacrifice, that you can't do it, throw yourself on the grace of God in Jesus Christ and know that God can. And if you feel right now that you are worthy and that you can do it, please throw yourself on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. For it is by God's faithfulness that we are saved. It is by God's faithfulness that we can live a life of sacrifice. It is God that saves us. It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that lives in us and is the power of the Spirit of God that brings us through each day and sets us in a place of new hope. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Amen.